seeking salvation in the future, seeking completion in the future. That's one aspect of future salvation for the little me. The other part of future is the little me also knows that the future is very threatening. It is drawn towards it as an answer to its story, but it knows at the same time that the future is going to kill it. Of course it will. So a dreadful dilemma arises for the little me. It's drawn towards future as an answer, as salvation, as fulfillment, and at the same time it's continuously threatened by the future, because anything may happen. I may lose what I already have, which may not be all that satisfying, but at least I have that. And the future may take it away from me. The two movements that govern whatever the fictitious entity that humans are trapped in, whatever action it undertakes is governed by two motivating factors which are to do with future. A deep striving towards future as an answer is the movement of wanting and needing. That's why they're all running towards it. Traditionally, this has been called desire in spiritual teachings. The other movement connected with future is, my God, what's going to happen to me? What's the future going to do to me? That's called fear. Fear arises. So humans move between these two in a continuous conflict or dilemma. Desire, which is wanting and needing, and fear. So drawn to future and fearing it at the same time. Easy to see why humans live in such misery. And then the whole fiction of me cannot be sustained without being in opposition to something. The me, to be sustained, needs to be in conflict with something almost continuously, because its survival depends on not me. It depends on sustaining the illusion that this is the separate entity, this is my boundary, and here are the others and the rest of the world. And that can only be sustained, the illusion of separateness, of an encapsulated sense of self. And basically, because of fear that underlies the little me, it's also a state of continuous contraction, both psychological contraction and even physical contraction. Protection of the little me and its encapsulated sense of self. It needs, so that its illusion of separateness can be sustained, it needs enemies in some form or other. Why is it, if you open a history book, why is it that human history, 90% of human history is the history of insanity? Anybody who opens a history book says, that is mad. So we need to get to the root of human madness to go beyond it, not say, oh, they are mad. It's to see I am mad. To see I am mad is actually a very positive thing, because where does that seeing arise? Sanity. It's only as sanity rises you can see the madness. And we can see the collective madness of humanity as human history. Unbelievable madness, killing, suffering. So how does that arise? It arises in each individual embedded in the very structure of the egoic sense of self is the need to have enemies. Enemies not necessarily in the form of people, although often that is the case too. Enemies in the form of situations, conditions, even places. And so what's the very root of that? What is the real arch enemy of the little me? The present moment. The thing it always is in opposition to, trying to get away from or fighting, if you look to the very root of its need for enemies, is to make the present moment into something that you need to oppose. And what is the present moment now? Life. Because life cannot be in any other place, in any other moment, except now. So the little me lives in opposition to life. Its enemy is life itself, which is now. If that's not mad, what is? So it's me against the universe. Temporarily, the little me may have brief moments of relief, never for long, because it cannot afford to be in a state of non-opposition to what is for long. It cannot afford to be in a state of peace for long. It cannot afford to be in a state of joy for long. It cannot afford to be in a state of love for long, because all those things arise only when there's no opposition to what is, but a deep embracing of what is. So the little me fears that embracing of what is. Its very existence depends on not embracing what is. To recognize that is a wonderful realization. Something within that recognition, as there's something in there that is nothing to do with the little me. So there are two movements. You may find it even within yourself here. Something emerges that is deeper than that entity, egoic fiction. It's emerging now. And there's still the momentum behind the egoic fiction of me also may be operating. And you can be sure that it doesn't like the deep need that is embedded in the very structure of the egoic mind, really a deep need for unhappiness. Never made conscious, because its survival, the survival of that mind structure, depends on unconsciousness. When you make it conscious, suddenly you see, wow, this is mad. My need to be unhappy, never recognized fully, always it comes in a hidden, concealed way, because the reasons for my unhappiness are always out there. This is making me unhappy, that is making me unhappy, the present moment is making me unhappy. What is making me unhappy?